servanthood, and it's a very important topic for the church. Amen. Very important topic for the church, the topic of servanthood. Amen. Amen. Servanthood. You know, in the beginning of like the book of Genesis, and you know, in the beginning of the book of Genesis, Exodus, even the early books of Job, and all those early books that were written, you know, those books are like the early books. You know, the early books. They say that the book of Job was written before Genesis, and well, in those books, you know, at the beginning, you know, one of the signs of wealth was that an individual had servants, you know, like Job. In the book of Job, when you read the book of Job, you see that he had a lot of material things, but then also it says that Job had a lot of servants. And you know, and the reason why he had a lot of servants is because, you know, he needed all those servants to be able to handle the wealth that God gave him. Amen. And then also, when you go into the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, we see also that that the kings had many servants. And so you see a lot in the Old Testament, you don't really see the word leader a lot, but you see the word servant a lot. You know, even in the New Testament, Peter, Paul, James, they many times they describe themselves as a servant. You know, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. And so when you talk about servanthood, we're talking about a very important topic, especially when it comes down to building the kingdom of God. And that's what we're doing here at Victory Arch Grand Prairie. We're building God's kingdom. Amen. And we have a big vision. We have big vision. God has given us a big vision. God has given me and my wife a big vision. Amen. You know, it's not a small vision. It's a big vision. And in order to accomplish that big vision, it's going to take a lot of servants. It's going to take a lot of servants. Amen. God wants to give us a lot of servants. And this is why servanthood is so important when it comes down to the kingdom of God. Because we cannot build the church. We cannot build the kingdom without servants. So that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. So if you have your Bibles there, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Do we have any brothers and sisters in the house tonight? Amen. Are you excited to be in God's house tonight? Amen. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, this verse here is very powerful. It's saying that Paul is urging us to look at our life through the lens of the mercy of God. That's what it means. It says, in view of God's mercy, to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. When you look at your life through the lens of God, through the lens of God's mercy upon your life, see, when you look correctly through the mercy of God, you realize why you have to serve God.
Amen.
Okay, I didn't explain myself good enough then. Let me put it like this. When you see the passion of Christ and what Jesus did for you on the cross, and not just on the cross, but even before he went to the cross. When you see that all he went through, for who? For you. What he went through, his flogging, his beating, his humiliation, and his death on the cross. Huh? See, when you see what he went through in view of his, that's his mercy. Amen. So therefore, because he did that for you, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. That's what the scripture means. See, because he loved you so much to shed his blood for you.
Amen.
That's why you should serve him.
Amen.
That's why we should serve him with all our hearts.
Yes.
So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God.
Amen.
So now it's not just about serving, but it's about serving holy.
Yeah.
Huh? Not holy with a W, but holy with an H.
Come on now.
So, see, so many people want to serve, but they don't want to be holy. Let me say that again. People want to serve, but they don't want to be holy.
Amen.
And that's an unacceptable service unto God. If you're going to serve God, you got to serve Him in the beauty of His holiness.
Amen.
Are you following me here tonight?
Amen.
So, then it goes on to say, holy and pleasing to God. In other words, a holy servant is pleasing to God. An unholy servant is not pleasing to God. You might please, an unholy servant might please man. An unholy servant might please pastor. An unholy servant might please that sister or that brother. But it won't please God. That's heavy right there. See, there's so many, and there's churches full of people that are serving in the choir on Sunday. Huh? But they're dropping it like it's hot on Saturday night. They're in the choir and the worship on Friday night, but Thursday night, they were at ladies' night. See, that's not pleasing to God. That's not pleasing to God. And so, you know, we're talking about being a servant. We're talking about serving the right way. See, so he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
Amen.
This is your true and proper worship. How many want to worship God the proper way?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to teach you tonight how to worship God the proper way, you know, through servanthood. We thought worship is just singing a song, lifting our hands. No. Worship, true worship, is serving holy.
Amen.
Not with the W, with an H.
Wow, come on.
Huh? Are you serving with holy hands?
Wow.
With the holy mind? With the holy heart?
That's good.
And then it goes on to say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Remember that. We're going to talk about that later on. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts tonight. Remove me to the side. Anoint my life, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege here this evening to preach your word, to serve your people. And God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. The world nor the church cannot and will not survive without servants.
Come on, say
that. The world nor the church cannot and will not survive without servants. Huh? There are servants in the world. There are servants in the United States. You know, actually, there's people that do stuff for free. I know it's hard to come by. You know, but there's actually people that do stuff for free. Yesterday, my alternator to my car went out.
Come on now.
I mean, it just went out. It had no power. That little thing cost close to $300. Thank God I have a mechanic as a home director.
Amen.
He did it for free.
Amen.
If I would have took him to a shop, probably cost me like $1,500 to $2,000 for labor and all that. Why? Because in order to change that part, he practically had to take he almost had my whole motor out of my car. Huh? It's hard to get to in new cars. But the part wasn't free. Then they had to take out my freon of my car to get the part out. Amen. It cost a lot of money. But nevertheless, he did it for free. There's people that will do stuff for free. Amen. What do you call those people? Servants.
Servants.
Servants. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I have a dream. Huh? He had a dream. A dream that brought change to America.
Yeah.
He was a servant. He didn't do it for money. He provided the service of, civil rights. He provided that, and we enjoy the benefits today.
Amen.
But he did it for free. The world cannot survive, nor the church can survive without true servants. So when I say servants, I mean real servants who serve from their hearts.
Amen.
Not serving for money or what they will get in return, but serving out of a genuine heart, out of a genuine love.
Amen.
Like Jesus, who said, I came not into the world to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many.
Amen.
He came and he gave his life for free. He left heaven. In heaven, he had a throne, streets of gold,
right,
in the presence of God. He had it made, but he left heaven, the beauty of heaven, and he came down to the world of the ghetto world. Come on, somebody. A dirty world, a dingy world, a sinful world. But he came, and he came freely. He came willingly.
Amen.
Because he was a servant. He offered his body as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. And therefore, he has every right to ask you and I to offer our bodies, just like he offered his body as a living sacrifice. His living body was a holy body. He lived in this world and he was sinless. Now you may say, well, do I have to be sinless? Because if I have to be sinless, then I'm disqualified. Yes, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are able to walk in holiness when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and his sacrificial work on the cross. And on a daily basis, when we stand before the Lord and ask him to cleanse us of all our sins, and we walk in repentance, then yes, we can be those holy servants.
Amen.
Jesus modeled servanthood for us. He modeled servanthood for us. He modeled it. He was the chief of servants. He was the model of a servant. So when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see Jesus serving the people. What was he doing when he fed the 5,000? He served. What was he doing when he did the miracles, when he healed blind Bartimaeus? He served. What was he doing when he preached the great sermon on the mount? He was serving. Everywhere you see in Jesus' life, you see him serving. Not nowhere do you see that he was doing it for money, for financial gain, or for power. He was doing it because he was a servant. He was doing it because he was offering his body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And when you and I are servants, we are offering our body as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. He doesn't want us to be a dead sacrifice. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. He already died for us. He doesn't need you to die. He needs you to live for him. So many people say, I'll die for Jesus? How can you die for Jesus if you can't even live for Jesus? Man, we ask you to go to the streets, or we ask you to serve coffee, and you get manifested. Jesus wants you to live for him.
Good.
Three benefits of serving I want to give you here tonight. First, the first benefit, write this down, to serving is serving saves us. Serving saves us from self.
Amen.
Serving saves us from self.
Come on. Amen.
From self. That's the first benefit of serving. When you become a servant, serving will save your life.
Amen.
Huh? It will save you from yourself. Because serving Christ, staying busy serving keeps you from backsliding.
Right.
When you stay busy serving, it keeps you from backsliding and getting caught up in the world. You've heard the saying, idle mind is the devil's workshop. Idle time is the devil's workshop. This is why you better be glad we have Friday night service. Because I want to ask you what you used to do on Friday night. What were you doing on Friday night? Maybe I should just one day have a whole Friday night testify service of what you used to do on Friday night. Come on, somebody. We would still be here Sunday morning. We couldn't dismiss. You know, because if it wasn't for Friday night service, man, you'd probably be getting caught up in the world, caught up in the parties and the house parties and the club parties and all your old friends invite you. Oh, come on, it's Friday night. It's Friday night. But don't you thank God that there's a Friday night service that you can come to, start your weekend off right? You ain't got to get caught up in the world no more, but you can come serve Christ. You can come serve Jesus. You can come and be an usher in the house of God. You can come be a children's ministry teacher in the house of God. You can come sing worship in the house of God. You can greet at the door in the house of God. You can be a parking lot attendant in the house of God. You can come give in the house of God. You ain't got to serve the devil no more. You can come to the house of God on a Friday night and serve Jesus. But it's just not serving on Friday. We should serve 7 days a week. This is why, even if we had service every day, you should be in the house of God. I knew it wasn't going to get no amens. It's okay. Hello, somebody. We got to stay busy. Now, there's a word of caution here that I want to give, a word of caution about no more Tuesday gang service. You know, right? We moved Tuesday gang service to Sunday night gang. Right?
Amen.
A word of caution here is that, you know, even though we may not have Tuesday gang, and the reason why we're having it is just to save some money on air conditioner. Because if not, we keep the AC running all weekend, and then again on Tuesday. And then the worship team wants it on Thursday, but I say, no. I want to just remind you about hell so that you don't go there. But listen. It's using wisdom financially, being a good steward. So let's move. We move to a gang service to Sunday night. SNL still going to come anyways. We're still going to come and worship with the gang, right?
Yeah.
And then after this Sunday, I'm going to preach. The next two Sundays, Pastor Tony's going to come back and do deliverance because the gang needs to be delivered. He said, I got some new teachings, Pastor. I said, you know what? Come on down. It's gang. But you know what? They need to get delivered and sold. And the church will be there too. But a word of caution. A word of caution. That even though we may not have Tuesday gang service, we still got to stay busy for Jesus. And now that we don't have Tuesday maybe gang service, but now we should have Tuesday streets, Tuesday follow-up, Tuesday discipleship, newcomer filling up that newcomer's Bible study on Tuesday. Why? Because we're about serving Christ. If you're a single person, you gotta serve.
Right. Yeah, right.
The single's got to serve. Can I hear the single say amen?
Amen.
The Bible says this about singlehood. It says it is better for them to marry than to burn with passion. I don't got to break that down in the Hebrew, do I? That means you're hot. And the other H word. Yeah, let your mind go there. Come back now. Right? That's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. The Bible says it is better to marry than to burn with passion. In other words, man, you ain't got to be hot all the time and get married. You'll get, God's going to bless you with somebody. Now, I believe the Bible's true. And it's true. It's better to marry than to burn with passion. That's why I got married. Come on, somebody. One of the reasons I got married. And it's true. But that doesn't mean to rush into marriage.
Amen. There it is.
That doesn't mean to rush into marriage and marry anyone. Or worse, marry the wrong one. Because if you marry the wrong one, guess what? As soon as you said I do, and the pastor signs that paper, she becomes the right one. The right one with all the issues. So as a single, you're burning with passion. As a single person, the Bible says that you're burning with passion. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul said. Says you're burning with passion. So you know what you have to do in order not to rush in? Fools rush in. And what you got to do in order not to marry the wrong one and just rush into something? What you have to do is you must funnel that passion into serving. That's what I did. That's what Brother Josh did. It's what many people have done. They have funneled that passion into serving.
Amen.
But hey, listen, I had passion. I was hot. And I was the other H word too. That'd be real.
Yeah.
But you know what kept me off of that? Off of that other H word?
Come on now, teach it.
Serving.
Yes.
Serving.
That's right.
Good. I didn't have time to be Archie Flower. I didn't have time to be the player from the Himalaya in the church.
Come on now.
I didn't have time. Girls try to holler. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time for that. I got a rally to go to. I got drama practice to go to. I got to go pick up a disciple. I got to do some follow. I got to go to the streets. I got to go serve my pastor. I got to go serve my leader. I ain't got time to get caught up. I ain't got time to let this passion consume me. This passion for sin. This passion for the opposite sex to consume me. I ain't got time for that. Instead, I'm going to funnel my passion into serving Jesus. And if you're a single person, you got to funnel that passion into serving Christ Jesus. This is why singles, you have the opportunity to outserve everyone else. As a single, you have the opportunity to outserve everyone else, to outserve the gang, to outserve the couples. You have that opportunity. And I took that opportunity. I outserved many people back in my church. I outgave many people back in my local church. Why? Because I had a passion, a natural passion given by God burning inside of me. But instead of using it for sin, I chose to use it to serve. Couples. Can I talk to the couples here tonight? Are the married couples in the house? They didn't stay home, right? The Bible tells us that two are better than one.
That's right, amen.
You as a couple, you as a couple, you don't got to let the singles outdo you. You don't got to let the singles outdo you. But you, as serving, with you as a servant, as a couple, you don't have to let a single person out serve you, but you as a couple, you have the opportunity. You know what you got the opportunity to be? A double barrel shotgun. All
right. Yeah.
Married couples fell asleep. You have an opportunity to be a double barrel. I wanted to bring out my shotgun.
Come on.
I said, no, because they're going to get scared. I had proper pulpit etiquette. Plus, I only have a single barrel, not a double barrel. Huh? But you as America, the Bible says two are better than one, for they get double for their return.
Yeah.
If one falls, the other one's there to help them up.
Yeah.
But even as a couple, listen, a single person, they may be a single barrel shotgun, but listen, you as a couple, you're a double barrel shotgun, and you can put two holes in the devil, you can put two holes in the world, you can put two holes in crack the city. You have double the potential to serve Christ. But as couples, I must caution you not to get or be comfortable.
Wow.
And complacent.
Amen.
Huh? Because there's a tendency for this to happen. I was speaking to one of the leaders, and one of the leaders stopped by from Big Church Dallas, and they're going to hear me. But he said, you know, he's sharing some of the things that take, you know, that he's, as a leader, he deals with, works with people. And he was saying, you know, right now we're dealing with some couples that are newlyweds. Because they get married, and all of a sudden they don't want to serve. They just want to be in each other's arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. You know, and you know, but before they got married, oh man, they were serving. I mean, they were at the rally. I mean, they were in the worship and the drama and the gang. And man, they were in every meeting. But then all of a sudden, wrap me in your arms. Don't you let me go. I need you more. Oh, that's Latin hip hop. Never mind. I thought that was. So as couples, I must caution you not to get or be comfortable and complacent, because it's a tendency for this to happen. It's a tendency just to be married and enjoy the American dream of family and backyard barbecues and vacations and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The American dream. A house, white picket fence, two-car garage, a dog named Spot. The American dream. And we get caught and we get a lazy boy and we want to kick back. And, you know, maybe we still come to church, but, you know, we still come to church. We still pay our tithes and, you know, and you know, we were here. But yet, you know, we don't want to show up to serve no more. We don't want to show up to serve at the rally. We don't want to show up to serve at the altars. We don't want to show up to serve at anything extra. You must offer your marriage as one. As a living sacrifice to God.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I'm not saying that those things are bad things. Listen, I'm not against taking a vacation, man. I want to take a vacation. Come on, buddy. Huh? I'm not against, you know, backyard barbecues, because I'm gonna have one tomorrow, man.
Hallelujah.
And my wife got some, the home has some pork chops. They brought me some pork chops. I said, honey, season them. I'm gonna turn the grill on. I'm not against that stuff. But when, listen. Do all that, but make sure that you're also serving, my friend. Make sure that you're serving. Make sure that you're still hitting the streets and you're still showing up to the meeting and you're still, you know, giving and you're still involved and you're still putting your hands to the plow. I believe this. I believe work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? We can work hard for Jesus.
Amen.
And then you can also enjoy life. Matter of fact, serving Jesus is fun.
Amen.
Because, see, serving helps us stay saved.
That's right.
It helps us. We say it all the time. In Victory Outreach, you ain't got time to backslide.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We keep you so busy, and maybe we need to keep you busier.
No.
Come on, somebody.
No.
Tuesday night, we may not be here at gang, but we'll be out there doing a rally somewhere. We'll be out there doing a drama somewhere. We'll be out there doing follow-up somewhere. Self-serving helps us to say it. Keep Jesus saved us. Yes, I know. But serving helps us to stay in line with the calling of God.
Amen.
Because if not, we get entangled in this world. We get entangled in this world. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Are you there yet? Me either. I'm getting there too. Listen to what it says. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. No one serving as a soldier. Do we have any soldiers in the house? Gets entangled in civilian affairs. But rather tries to please his commanding officer. See? When you're too busy serving, you ain't got time to get tangled up. When you're too busy serving, you ain't got time. And if you're getting tangled up, you ain't doing enough. Come on, somebody. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews. That's why. Ladies shouldn't make coffee. Because the Bible says Hebrews. I rebuke that though. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Talking about serving here. That we are to throw off everything that entangles. You can't serve when you're all tangled up.
Wow.
You can't serve when you're all tangled up in sin, all tangled up in the world. You can't serve. Serving, the first benefit of serving is that serving saves us. The second benefit is that serving saves others.
Amen.
Serving saves others.
Amen.
Serving Christ means leading others to Christ.
Right.
By being a model of Christ. Write that down. Serving Christ means leading others to Christ. By being a model for Christ. That's what serving God is all about. Serving God is about leading others to Christ and being a model of Christ.
Amen.
Yes, it's Jesus who saves. It's Jesus who saved us. But we are the hands and the feet of Jesus that bring the lost to the cross of salvation. It is Jesus that saves, but we are his hands, we are his feet that bring the lost to the cross of salvation. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. Are you there? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone serving them? Okay, preaching to them. Like I'm preaching to you, you know what I'm doing? I'm serving you. I'm serving you. Huh? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Today, I sent the home to the streets. I sent the home. I sent a lot of people to the streets.
I sent Joe to the streets. I sent Josh to the streets. I sent Curly to the streets. I sent the home to the streets. I sent people to the streets. Then I see all you guys liking and commenting their pictures. I get jealous. Because I'm flesh. I sent them. Right? I sent them. They should be liking my pictures. But I don't go. I didn't go. I go, but I didn't go over there. They're sent. Huh? You know, that's funny about the church sometimes. You know? We gotta get to a place where, man, you just go, man, you just go. You know? A lot of times, you know, I have to be the one. Right? Streets, Friday night streets, Saturday rally. Huh? Streets, 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 streets. Huh? I'm pushing the streets. What am I doing? Cindy.
Right.
Huh? I'm sending. If I can go, I'll go. But there's, I feel like I gotta split myself into 1,000 pieces sometimes. But listen, hear this scripture so powerful. It says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then can they call on the one of whom they not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach to them unless somebody sends them? Who? What are they? These are servants.
Amen.
Amen.
These are servants that will go. These are servants that will preach.
Amen.
Servants. Serving saves others. Preachers are servants. And I don't just mean pulpit preachers. We need more street preachers. Before you preach behind a pulpit, you must be faithful to the street altar. And preach there on the streets. Somebody want to preach? I want to preach, Pastor. I want to preach. Go preach on the streets. Flip the trash can upside down. Jump on top of it. Get the bullhorn. I don't care if nobody's around. I don't. Main Street sometimes looks like a ghost town. Oh, but we need some VOGP soldiers that even though there ain't nobody driving down Main Street, even though there ain't nobody walking down Main Street, you get on top of that newspaper stand with your bullhorn and you start to yell out and you start to say, if you can hear the sound of my voice out there, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. If you can hear the sound of my voice, maybe you're behind that building, you're in that apartment, you're in that house, and you can hear the sound of my voice, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. There's a plan for your life. I used to be addicted just like, but Jesus changed. You're thinking about committing suicide, but I'm telling you, don't do it because Jesus has a plan for your life.
Yeah.
Open air preaching. Let the angels carry your voice. Huh? Serving saves others. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not radical and fanatical like that. So some people are not gonna hear the yelling, but they'll hear your soft voice. Some people, they may not pay attention because Irvin's preaching, but they see you standing next to him. I say, yeah, that's a curious individual right there. Come on, somebody. Listen, we preach through dramas. We preach through rallies. We preach through flyers. That's why we need more graphic designers.
Yes.
Yes. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Huh? We preach through all kinds of ways. We preach through the dramas, through the rallies, and through the drama. You know, you can be involved in the drama and be the people that put the furniture on the stage? Prop guy. You could be the organizer. You could be the makeup person. You could be the one, I don't know, that passes out the flyers. You could do something. You can get involved in some way of serving and preaching.
Amen.
We preach through technology.
Amen.
We preach through technology. We preach through our website, through our YouTube channel, through our Podbean channel. We preach through Facebook. We preach through Twitter. We preach. We can preach through the TV and through the radio. But what do we need in order to preach through all these channels? We need servants.
Amen.
We want to preach through the TV one day. We need servants. And we want to preach on the radio one day. We need servants.
Amen.
Or you want pastors to do it all?
No.
Or you want the leaders to do it all?
No.
It won't work like that. We need people that will rise and answer the call and say, I want to be a servant. I want to see souls saved. And so therefore, I'm willing to offer my body as a living sacrifice.
Amen.
I'm willing to sacrifice my time.
Amen.
Sacrifice my resources. Sacrifice. I'm willing to lay it down. I'm willing to be a servant so that we could see others saved through the preaching of the gospel message.
Amen.
Huh? We need those willing servants that understand their serving is vital to others coming to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Huh? Whether it is serving in the music ministry, in the kids ministry, in the gang ministry, in the ushering ministry, and the greeting ministry, and prison ministry, and rehab ministry, and on the list can go of areas that we need servants in. We need servants in so many areas. We need a multitude of servants. Pastor and sister, we need servants all around. We need thousands of servants for the vision that God has given us. We need hundreds of servants for the vision that God has given us to reach the world, to reach our city, to launch out churches, to build a base here in Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. We need a multitude of servants that are willing to serve and lay their life down for the cause of Christ, so that people can come to know Jesus the way you came to know Jesus, and Jesus changed your life. And you may say, it's all good, okay, I'm giving, but what am I getting? You're getting heaven. You're staying saved. You ain't gonna backslide. You ain't gonna go back to the world because you're busy serving Christ. The third thing is that serving saves the church. Serving saves the church. So serving saves you, serving saves others, and serving saves the church is the third thing. See, without willing servants or volunteers, the church would die. Without willing servants or volunteers, the church would die. We the church, especially Victory Outreach, We rely on willing volunteer servants to do the work of the ministry.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
The sound people don't get paid.
No.
The piano player doesn't get paid. Sean don't get paid. Tonsils of gold don't get paid. Huh? I don't get a check. My wife doesn't have me a check after I get down from preaching. Don't work like that. This church functions with willing servants that volunteer.
Amen.
Their time, their efforts, their blood, sweat, and tears.
Right.
Huh? Most churches, that's how we operate. We need willing servants. That's the problem. See, we live in a society, everybody wants to get paid for everything.
That's right.
Come on.
Everybody, well, what am I going to get out of it?
Mm.
You're getting heaven. You're getting salvation.
Yeah.
Isn't that enough?
Yes.
You're getting a God that loves you, a God that will move heaven and earth for you. Huh? We do not need hirelings who do ministry for money.
Come on now.
See, serving saves the church from a lot of problems. Serving saves the church from a lot of problems. First, because if you're rowing the boat, you're not rocking the boat.
Amen.
We need people that are going to row this boat with us.
Amen.
Huh? If you're rowing the boat, you ain't got time to rock the boat.
Come on.
Huh? See, those that rock the boat are those causing the trouble, causing the problems. Come on, somebody. Huh? But when you're busy serving, rowing the boat, pushing the boat forward. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? You ain't got time to rock the boat.
Right.
Secondly, Serving saves the church from a lot of problems. Secondly, is that if you're not part of the problem, then you can help fix the problem. See, the problem is that sometimes, you know, you want to help fix the problem, but you're part of the problem. Come on, somebody. Huh? You know, you can help fix problems. And let me tell you something. Listen, in the church, there are a lot of problems. Amen. Let me say it again. In the church, there are a lot of problems. Amen. I told you before. Because we work with people. And people bring problems. Right. But that's what we're here for. Amen. That's what we're. That's why the church exists. Huh? For people to come with all their problems and all their hang-ups and all their sicknesses and all their disease and all their messed up thinking and all their messed up ways of being and all their sinful and worldly ways. They come to the church, and the church is not to reject them. The church is not to push them away, but the church is to welcome them and to help them and to love them and to disciple them and to try to do our best to bring them to a point where they can be a sweet aroma unto God, a pleasing sacrifice unto the Lord. Right. If people stop coming to church because of problems, they must remember that that's the whole purpose of the church. To be a Holy Ghost hospital where God can heal their issues. You can't stop coming to church just because you got problems. It's like saying I'm not going to go to the gym because I'm big. That's the whole purpose, to go to the gym.
Amen.
Huh? That's the whole purpose of coming to church. Huh? And you and I are the nurses the great physician uses to help heal and operate on those that come.
Amen.
We're the servants. We're the nurses. He's the doctor. He's the great physician. But we're the nurses. And sometimes he says, pass me the scalpel. I don't know what that is, but I think it's the knife.
Yeah.
And sometimes you as a nurse, you as a servant, you gotta pass Pastor the scalpel. Hello, somebody. Huh? We gotta pass God this, and God begins to cut.
Mm.
Are you hearing me? Huh? See, serving helps build the church, not destroy the church. Because serving builds up the church. There are three types of people in the church. There are three types of people in the church. Ambitious servants is the first one. Ambitious servants. This type of servant is a go-getter. A go-getter. That's how I am. I'm a go-getter. This is the first type of person in the church. He's an ambitious servant. This person will usually be on the front lines, always fired up, always at the rallies, always at all the events, always at all the services, always at all the conferences. They're an ambitious servant. They're a go-getter. They're like everywhere, man. You know, I'll preach. I'll hit the streets. I'll be in the drama. I'll be in the word. Whatever you want me to do, Pastor, I'm there. They're an ambitious servant. They're go-getters. This type of servant is a pastor or leader's dream or a desire. Man, we want these type of people. This is great. But this person must fight to stay humble and must realize their need for humility. Because if not, this person can become easily prideful. And pride comes before a fall. Then secondly, there's the behind-the-scenes servant. The behind-the-scenes servant. This person is the person the pastors and leaders desperately need. This type of person. This type of person, the leader and the pastor, we desperately need these people. These are the behind-the-scenes servant. This person is okay with serving quietly without being seen. There's two reasons why he or she serves quietly without being seen. It's either they are strongly connected in their devotion to Christ, and so they have no problem not being seen or being patted on the back. See? They're so strong in their devotion with Christ that they don't need a pat on the back. Some people, they serve because they want the pat on the back. But this person, he or she can serve behind the scenes with no pat on the back. See? So either they serve behind the scenes because they have a strong devotion to Christ.
Amen.
Or they serve behind the scenes maybe because they're too timid or shy to serve in the limelight. Which is okay. Not everyone is built for the limelight. So it's the ambitious servant, the go-getter. And then secondly, it's the behind-the-scenes servant, either because he or she is shy or timid, or maybe they just have a strong devotion with Christ. That's great. Pastors, leaders desperately need these type of servants. We desperately need these type of servants in the children's ministry.
Yeah.
We desperately need these type of servants in the streets.
Yeah.
We desperately need these type of servants all over the church.
Amen, amen.
And then third, the third person in the church is the idle person. The third person in the church is the idle person. These are the three types of people in the church. Those that are ambitiously serving on the front lines. Those that serve behind the scenes. And then there's those that are idle. Either one, because they're lazy. Two, because they're complacent. They're complacent. And the reason why they're complacent is because it could be because they're disgruntled. They're disgruntled. In other words, they're hurt. At once, they did serve, but they got offended and did not let go of their offense. So now they just sit back, watch the show, and talk about it. So not only are they complacent and they're disgruntled, but they're gossipers. This person needs to repent and get back in the game to feel better about themselves.
Amen.
They need to get back in their game and get their fire back that they once had.
Amen.
See, this person is idle because they just don't know how to. There's the other reason why they're idle is not only one is because they're lazy, two is because they're complacent. Thirdly, it could be because this person just don't know how to serve. This person just doesn't know how to serve. Some people are idle not because they're lazy and not because they're complacent. They just don't know how to serve. They just don't know how to serve in the church. They don't know where to start. They need to be trained. They may not know their gifting yet. And so they're idle. But you know what happens? With a little training from leaders, they get off of idleness and they start to go for Jesus.
Right.
So what keeps us from serving? What keeps us from serving? Three things real quick. Pride. Arrogance. No, ignorance and selfishness. These three things keep us from serving. Look at verse 3 in Romans chapter 12. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Here is talking about pride. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Pride. See, people don't serve because they're too prideful to serve. They have the I'm above that mentality. Or I'm better than you or that thinking. We must be real with ourselves and God and know that we are but dust of the ground. We must understand we're slaves of Christ. Pride will keep you from serving people. I'm not supposed to be served. I'm supposed to be served. The second thing that keeps us from serving is ignorance. The lack of knowledge. Somebody once said, construction without instruction leads to destruction. Construction without instruction leads to destruction. In other words, if you try to start serving, but you don't know how, you're going to probably mess things up. So some people don't serve because of ignorance. They may not know their gifting, so they don't know how to use their gift yet. So many people came in like that. They came in, you know, everybody came in like that. Jeanette didn't come in knowing how to play the piano.
That's right.
Eric didn't come in knowing how to play the bass. Jesus didn't know how to play the guitar. Right. Singers didn't know how to sing. Yeah. Jose didn't know how to do the drums. But now they do it, and they have a gift for it.
Right. Right.
But what was it? They were taught. They were equipped. They were equipped. They could, guess what? They couldn't play a piano if there was no piano. So what do? We gave them the equipment.
Amen.
Huh? He couldn't play the drums if we didn't have no drums. So guess what we did? We provided the equipment.
Amen.
So therefore, they are equipped now to use their gift.
Right.
But just not just give them the sticks. But now, okay, there's a certain thing called beat.
Yeah.
There's a certain thing of the beat. There's a certain thing called the harmony. Huh? So we begin to teach them. We begin to equip them. Because before they were ignorant, not in a bad way. Ignorance means lack of knowledge.
Right.
So what do? We started to construct, but we started to give them instruction. They may not know their gifting, but it's the job of the church, of the leaders, to equip them. It's the leader's job to equip them, to show them how to serve Christ. That's our job, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The third one, people don't serve is because of selfishness. They're caught up in self. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of this world? Selfishness. The pattern of this world is selfishness. See, this Christian is caught up in the culture machine of pleasing self. The culture machine of this world. The culture machine of this world says, please self. Go to the movies all the time. Go to the mall all the time. Go to concerts all the time. Just have fun all the time. Fun is good, but we must make ample time to serve. Christians must discern what is God's will at what time. That's what verse 2 says. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, selfishness, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yes.
See, when you don't have your mind on yourself all the time, you can be a better discerner of what God's will is. So therefore, again, like I said, I'm not saying that you can't enjoy life and you can't have that backyard barbecue and you can't go to the lake, and I'm not saying you can't go swimming and you can't go. No, you can go to those things. But a Christian must discern what is God's will at what time. Is it time to serve? Or is it time? Is it God's will for me to serve others right now? Or is it God's will for me to serve my wife right now? Is it God's will for me to serve others right now? Is it God's will for me to serve my kids right now? Because guess what? God wants me to serve my wife. God wants me to serve my family. But discernment is what helps me understand what I'm supposed to do at this time. It's like the men of Issachar. It says the men of Issachar were men who knew what Israel ought to do. And you have to have the wisdom of Issachar to know, okay, discernment. Man, okay, is it time right now to serve my wife? Is it time to serve my family? Because there is times when you got to do that. Or is it time to serve God? Is it time to serve other people? Or even, is it time to serve myself? Huh? Like tomorrow morning, I need to go get a haircut. I'm going to serve myself. I'm going to go get me a haircut.
Yes, Lord.
Huh? I don't do pedicures or manicures. So I can't say that. I don't really like massages. I really don't like those either. Huh? But I like other stuff. You know, I like to go to the movies. I do. Sometimes I'll go to the movies. That's me time, right? My time. Now I serve my. I'll go do that. But then I have discernment to say it's not all about that. I know when it's time to serve others. And then I know when it's time. You know what? I'm not going to serve this. I'm going to serve my wife. I'm going to take her to get a pedicure and a manicure and a whatever cure. Right? I'm going to serve my wife. Huh? But wisdom, to know the will of God, to be able to discern. Huh? But I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice. And guess what? When I'm serving her, I'm not serving me. Sometimes I'll go and I'll sit there while she's getting her nails done. And I'm sitting there. I'm getting high. Oh, man. She's smiling. I don't like being in there. There's flashbacks. I do it for her. Because I'm serving her. I'm on somebody. Serving her. She'll go do it. And then they take forever to do the feet. But I'll go to the mall and I'll sit there in the mall. Huh? You know, I ain't got no money, so I can't shop. But I'm waiting for her. I don't know what they're doing for 2 hours. And then they're talking to her like she understands them. Come on, somebody. No, no offense, Paul. No offense, Paul. Let me close this thing. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is a selfish ambition. A selfish ambition. Selfish. This is why this world has iPhone, iPad, my comfort. It's the pattern of this world. It says, but be conformed to the pattern of Christ. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. And let this mind, let the mind of Christ Jesus be in you. That though he was the Son of God, he humbled himself as a servant. I love that verse, Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in Christ. That even though he was the Son of God, he humbled himself as a servant to the point of death. We need servants. Servants. Jesus was a servant. In John chapter 13, verse 38 through 42, he washed the disciples' feet. We have to be servants. Now, a word of caution. We got to be servants. But we can't become a Martha servant. We can't become a Martha servant. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, it talks about Mary and Martha. Jesus came to Martha's house. Martha had a nice house. And Jesus came to Martha's house. And it was the talk of the town. And everybody came. And Martha was having a big group fellowship at her house. And Jesus, as he always does, he went into the living room and started to teach and started to share stories and started to drop nuggets. And everybody wanted to be around the nuggets of Jesus. And everybody wanted to hear the stories of Jesus. Everybody wanted to hear Jesus preach. And it says that Mary was sitting there at Jesus' feet listening to Jesus. But it says Martha was running around preparing everything, because this was a big event to have Jesus come to your house. That's a big event. Imagine that. And Martha was, she was in the kitchen, you know, making the lemonade and the coffee and lasagna and preparing the meal for Jesus and his disciples. And make, if Jesus was going to spend the night, she had to make sure that she had the bed nice and comfy for him. I mean, she was everywhere preparing the things that needed to be prepared. But she started to get irked in her spirit because Mary, she looked over and seen Mary just sitting there doing nothing. While she's over here serving like crazy, running around like a chicken with her head cut off. She started to hate on Mary. She's like, she went and told Jesus, Jesus, man, you know, excuse me, I know you're telling that story how you healed Lazarus and you know, but excuse me, Jesus. You know, look at my sister. Mira. Nomás ahí aplastada. Man, she's just sitting right there on her cushion. Jesus, tell her to help me. Tell her to do something. And Jesus said, Martha. He had to call her name like three times. You know why? Because she was so busy that she wasn't even paying attention to Jesus. There's some servants that are so busy, they don't even pay attention to Jesus. They're so busy in the church, up and down, in and out, in and out. And there they are. Oh, but I'm serving, Pastor. But I'm serving, Leader. But I'm serving, but I'm serving. But are you hearing Jesus? Listen, we want servants, but we don't want Martha servants. We need servants, but we also need Marys. We need servants that hear from Jesus. Because listen, see, a Martha servant is like an ugly servant. A Martha servant carries that ugly spirit because they're snappy. Imagine having a snappy usher, a snappy greeter. Welcome to Victory Outreach. Glad you made it. You didn't come last Sunday. Come on now. Snappy. You're at the rally passing out hot dogs. Can I have another one? No! One's enough! Martha's servants. Huh? Right? We don't need those type of servants. We need servants. You know, we need servants like Christ. Servants like Christ. Huh? Servants like Christ that when they brought the adulterous woman to him, the Pharisees, and said, Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. The law says we are to stone her. What do you say? Did he blurt out? Did he snap? He knew what the law says. And what it is, he knew what he said about the law. He says, I did not come here to destroy the law, but to uphold the law. But did he snap? No. Says he bent down and he started to rot on the ground. Nope, the Bible doesn't say, commentaries don't say what he wrote, but some people say that he started to write down all the people around. He started to write their sins. Wow. And he got back up and he says, he who has not sinned, let him throw the first stone. Says one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they started to walk away because the oldest were wiser. The young ones, they didn't get it. It went over their head. It took them a while to figure out that puzzle. And then they realized, Jesus, see me. And then they got out of there. And then it was just him and her left. And he said, woman, where are those who accused you? Neither do I condemn you or accuse you. He served her in a gentle way. Amen. In a loving way. That's the type of servant Christ needs. That's the type of servant God wants me to be. Wants you to be. In a gentle way. And it's not easy easy for us because we're rough around the edges. Victor Outreach folk, we would give people our 2 cents even if they didn't ask for it. We would give them a piece of our mind even if they didn't ask for it. We're rough around the edges. But this is why even more so do we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus and let all of him rub off on all of us. That's what we need. We don't need Martha's servants. We need Mary's servants. And then we don't need servants that are like Gehazi in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 through 27. Gehazi didn't serve with the right spirit. We need servants that serve with the right spirit in the right way. You could study that later, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 through 27. Gehazi was Elijah's servant. And Gehazi got rebuked bad because he didn't serve the right way. He didn't serve the right way. God brought a heathen to Elijah named Naaman with leprosy. For that Elijah could heal him. Elijah healed him. And this heathen wanted to give Elijah money, material things. Elijah said, no, keep your money. I don't do this for money. I serve God not for money. I don't want to take nothing from you, because then you're going to say that you paid for your miracle. Elijah said, no, you don't have to give me nothing. And he sent him on his way. His disciple, though, Gehazi, the Bible says that he felt that his leader was too easy on Naaman. So what did he do? When Naaman walked away and Elijah walked away, Gehazi went running after Naaman, where his leader couldn't see him. And he said, hey, Naaman, hold up. You know what? My master changed his mind. We do need this. You know, give us this, give us that, give us that. Naaman real quick gave it to him. He came back around his leader. His leader looked at him and already knew what was up. And he said, Gehazi, was not my heart with you? Was not my heart with you? In other words, didn't you have my heart? My servant's heart. That's not my heart. You've been with me so long. And that's not how we do things, Gehazi. See, if you're going to serve, you got to serve in the right way.
Amen.
You got to serve in the right way. We got to serve God the right way. Like I started off in the beginning of the message, in holiness. It's not just about serving and doing and doing, but are we serving in the right way?
Amen.
In holiness and righteousness. Out of love. And out of remembering that it's to win souls. Everything we do is to win souls. That's why we serve. Not for selfish gain, not for power, not to be seen.
Amen.
We do it because we love people. We love God and we love people. I want to be a home director because I love God and I love people. I want to be a gang leader because I love God and I love young people. I want to be a pastor and a preacher and take a city because I love people. And I want to see them saved. And I want to see them go to heaven. And I want to see them fulfill the calling of God upon their life. I want to teach Vethi because, man, I love people. And I want to see them. I sincerely want to see them fulfill their potential in life and in the calling of God upon their life. I want to sing in the worship team. And I want to lead worship. And I want to play the piano and the drums and the congas and the trumpet and the saxophone. Because I love to usher people into the presence of God. I love to serve. I love to create an atmosphere of worship where people can come lift their hands and be broken in the presence of God. And that blesses my heart. And even though I can't cry, and even though I can't lift my hands because I gotta hold this bass, I gotta hold this guitar, I gotta hold this microphone, I gotta keep my fingers on the piano, I gotta keep these things sticks in my hand, even though I can't lift my hands, I will sacrifice lifting my hands so that other people can lift their hands. Even though I may lose some sleep to go to the streets, I'm willing to do those things out of a heart because I love others. I'm willing to bear the disgrace of the cross. I'm willing to be talked about. I'm willing to be cheated on. I'm willing to be trampled on because I want to serve others. I just want to serve others. I want to serve others. To have a servant's heart. Servant's heart. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And they know how much you care when you begin to serve them. When you begin to serve them. Let's serve, church. Let's raise up more. We need more servants. We need more servants in the kids gang. Some people, they don't want to go back there and teach. They don't want to go teach the kids. You know? They want to be in here with all the actions at. Pastor's yelling at everybody. I don't know why you like me yelling at you. I didn't yell at you today. And people walked out of my message. I need to yell more. No, I don't. We just need servants. We need servants to go to the streets. Go to the streets. We need servants to go preach at the home. We need a servant to say, you know, I'm willing to open up a women's home. We need servants to be willing to discipleship. But listen, not just any servants, holy servants. Not Gehazi servants. Servants that have their leader's heart. Have their leader's heart. We need good servants. Good servants. Victory Outreach International has been built by good servants. Victory Outreach San Jose was built by good servants. The Mother Church is built by good servants. You go to these churches, they have lots of servants. None of them preach on Sunday, but they serve in the children's ministry. They serve in the parking lot. We need servants in the parking lot. We need people to watch the cars. We need a parking lot attendant that, you know what, they're out there the whole service, but they're worshiping God. They're praying in the spirit. They're greeting people with love. They're helping ladies come out of their car that have single moms and bringing in their kids. And they're helping when it's raining outside with the umbrellas. But everybody wants to be in the sanctuary. But don't get me wrong, I don't need a Martha out there. I don't need somebody out there that's just going to be out there because they don't want to hear me yell at them. No, you need people out there that really have a sincere heart. I want to serve. I want to serve. I want to make sure people's tires ain't bald. I don't need one of my brother and sister to have a blowout on the highway. So I'm a security. I'm going to look at all the tires. Men's almost riding on faith. No, we got good tires in the mental, man. She sees sister so-and-so. And maybe you know, you want, maybe they do know their tires are bald. Just such a servant. You know what, sister? I bought a tire and I put it on for you. While you were in service, I put it on for you, brother. Because you've been having that bald tire for 5 weeks. What an impact that would make. What an impact that would make. You never know how your serving touches people. Sometimes it's not my preaching that touches people. It's not. I know it's not. It's the serving hands of the people. It's when kids leave the children's ministry and they go, Mom, I had a great time at kids' gang today. Man, you should have seen what the teacher did with us. Man, we had fun. They brought the good snacks, Mom. It wasn't animal crackers. They brought Cheeto Puffs, Mom. Bean dip, Mom. Come on, come back, Mom. The teacher made me laugh. The helper made me laugh. I felt love, Mom. Servants. And servants. Servants. Servants that come. You know, we have...
audio visual breaks down. I thought he had the guys ready, man. Not their fault. We servants.
Amen.
We servants. They will rise up. They will rise up. Servants. Sound your feet here tonight. Am I preaching this because we don't have servants? No. We have a lot of servants. I mean, we need more.
Amen.
We need more. Maybe there's some that are idle. I'm preaching this because we need to stay. We need, this is, has to be in our DNA. It has to be in our fabric of our church. We're a serving church. And if you haven't found a place to serve, find a place. Get involved in the usher. You want to be an usher? Get with Joe. You want to be? You want to serve in the music ministry? Get with Sean right here. He's not going to throw you up here the next time. He's gonna teach you what he knows. You want to help in the men's home? You know, you need to do. I don't know. Serve. Go preach to them. Go take them food. Offer rides. There's so you want to be a part of the street evangelism team? Get with Josh. Get with Irvin. Want to be a part of the drama? Get with the leaders. Get in there and serve. Get with the children's ministry. Get with my wife. Get with the ladies back there to teach. Get plugged in. You don't know what. Just pastor. I want to serve. I just don't know what. I don't know how. I don't know where to start. With Sister Sylvia, get with myself. We'll plug you in somewhere. We need a servant. Serving is so very vital to the church. We got to be those servants. Isn't that what Christ was? A servant?
Amen.
So let's serve. Let's serve. And let's teach others to serve. Teach others to serve through our exampleship and our model. To teach others. That's how we build servants. When people come in and they see the whole church serving, they say, man, you guys are so busy. I want to do something too. All right, come on. Come with me. I'll get you to do something. Want to stay serving. Amen?
Amen.
Lift your hands to the Lord. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, your word.